I love to watch these kids. And, parents, don't ever worry about it. You know, don't worry. Those kids, just let them enjoy coming to church. That's an important thing. Now, obviously, you know, there's some extent to some things, but they were just having a good time. And Miss Deborah wasn't bothering her. She's an old hand at this, and it was great. But I heard about this mother, and she was going to have another baby. And she had a little three-year-old, almost four. Some of you mothers can relate to this. And she was concerned about how this little boy is going to take this new baby coming into the world. And so she got her little four-year-old up in her lap. And she said, "Now, son, we're going to have a new little baby brother soon." And she said, "But you're going to be mama's helper. You're going to get to hold the baby bottle, and you're going to get to bring me clean diapers when I need a clean diaper, and push the baby buggy," and just went on and on about what all this little boy's going to be able to do. And so he got down out of her lap, and he looked at her, and he said, "Well, what I want to know is what you're going to be doing while I'm doing all the work." And sometimes, guys, we have that attitude. We think, sometimes people are trying to give us blessings and thinking they are blessing us, and what ends up happening, we get all out bent out of shape because we feel like we're being put upon. That's funny. Sometimes brothers and sisters, now, how many of y'all have brothers and sisters? Okay, brothers and sisters can be a pain. I got to turn my cell phone to see. Turned my cell phone earlier, and Amy said I was talking too loud when I was talking to her. So sometimes brothers and sisters can be a pain, though. But we love them anyway. We love them anyway. Unfortunately, in our study today, this wasn't the case, and we've been studying in Obadiah. And we've learned that Edom was descended from Esau. Write that down, Esau. And that Israel was descended from Jacob. And you understand that these two guys, Jacob and Esau, were twins. And Esau was the oldest because he came out first. And he was supposed to have inherited everything, but due to the trickery of Jacob, he didn't inherit it. And for 1,500 years, these two family lines had been fussing about all of this. And that's what the Bible means when we read it here. It calls the two nations brothers. So let's look at Obadiah, only one chapter, shortest book in the Old Testament, verse 10. "For thy violence against thy brother, Jacob, shame shall cover thee." This is talking to Edom. "And thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of his distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked upon their affliction in the day of their calamity, or laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his that remained in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand your word and the consequences of sin and the consequences of disobedience. But also help us to understand the blessings of repentance and the blessings of coming to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Edom here was very cold-hearted. They are very cold-hearted and cowardly as they look upon Israel being defeated and captured. You know, not only did they look and watch them be defeated and captured, they helped. They caught people who were escaping and turned them over to the Babylonians. They kept them from escaping. Not only this, they went in afterwards and killed the people who were left over and stole everything that was left. Very cold toward them. And folks, you may not like your brother or your sister, but when they really need you, you should be there. When I was small, my brother and I didn't really get along very well. He was younger and he was a pain. He just was. He's gotten a little bit better. But you know, I remember though one time we lived in a neighborhood and we had this kid across the street, Chip. And Chip, I think, still in prison. But anyway, at that time, it's before they caught him and put him in prison. But Chip was kind of, you know, he's about 4 years older than me and he just was a bully, no doubt about it. And I remember coming out around our driveway and seeing Chip, and he had my brother down in the road choking him and hitting his head on the asphalt. Well, I didn't like my brother, but, you know, I didn't like somebody hitting my brother's head on the asphalt either, but I knew I was going to get killed because, I mean, Chip outweighed me by 100 pounds. I mean, he was a big guy, and he was in high school, and I was about in the sixth grade, you know. But I went out there, man, and I jumped on his back, and I grabbed hold of his ears, and I just began twisting them ears. My brother got up, and he ran off, and Chip got up and just beat the tar out of me. I mean, and my brother, you know, I didn't see him till supper time. He was gone. But you know what? It was okay, because it was my brother. And I took a whooping for him, and that wasn't the first time I did it. And I found out later he took a few for me that I didn't even know about. He didn't know about. But the thing is, that's what you do when it's your brother or your sister or whatever. And I've always told my girls and Daniel that, look, you know, you just take up for your sister and brother. I don't care what they've done or whatever. Somebody attacks him or talks about it, you take up for them. And they always have, as far as I know. I better not find out otherwise. But anyway, we need to understand that the problem here with Edom and Israel too was they were not willing to forgive each other. 1,500 years, and it was a bitter, bitter animosity they had toward each other. Israel needed Edom, their brothers, and they weren't there. And they continue to betray. In Psalm 137:7, it says, "Remember, O Jehovah, the sons of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, 'Make it bare, make it bare, even the foundation of it.'" You know, they're cheerleaders. I was talking to Brooklyn about cheerleading because she's going down to that school. Yeah, well, I don't consider that a real school. Only one Baptist school in the state, and that's William Carey, not Mississippi College. But anyway, she's going to be a cheerleader, and I told her about Ainsley. Ainsley went up there to Delta State. Joy's thinking about going there, you know, and I said, you know, it would be hard to cheer for the Fighting Okra. I'm sorry. You know, I could just see you're up there cheering, go Okra, you know, and just crack up because I just don't know how they could do it. How could you do that? It's just beyond me. But anyway, I'm sorry. But these guys were cheerleaders. Brooklyn, they were, you know, the Edomites, the cheerleaders, they had on the little black uniform because they didn't have school colors, so they had black. And they're cheering, you know, push them back, push them in the ground, kill them, kill them, kill them, you know. That's what they were literally doing. They were cheering on the Babylonians. Amos talked about it in Amos 1:11. So says Jehovah, for three transgressions of Edom, yea, for four, I will not turn away from it. Because he pursued his brother with a sword. They chased down the Israelites, women and children, and killed them when they were trying to escape. And cut off all pities. And anger tore without end, and he kept his wrath forever. So Edom rejoiced in Israel's fate. And the result of this was bad for Edom. Israel was having a tough time. Write this down. Israel's going to drink of the cup of God's wrath for a season. You know what a season is. Some of us looking forward to, you know, people say, oh, Christmas season, you know, Easter season. There's only one season. That's football season. But anyway, They were, you know, but football season comes and goes. And you know what happens after the Super Bowl, 3 weeks later, nobody remembers who won. So it's over. It's gone. And that's what it's going to be for Israel. For a season, they are going to be under judgment. For a season, they are going to be captured. But Edom, it says, would drink permanently. Look at it, verse 10 there. It says, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. And verse 16, for as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Continually, forever. And this illustrates, again, the principle of sin. And I dare say most everyone in here is a Christian, but it illustrates principles of sin. When a Christian sins, he or she will have to suffer the results of that sin while they are here on earth for a season. And I hear people say there's a lot of false teaching about all of this. They say stuff like, well, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, yes, you are. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have to suffer the consequences of your sin here on earth. You get drunk, you run over some kid on a bicycle, you're probably going to prison. And not only that, you're going to regret and see that little kid in your mind from then on, and you are going to be miserable, but not in heaven. When you get to heaven, all that's gone, all that's past. Does God forgive you? Of course God forgives you. One of my kids one time, you know, was driving with his two sisters. We were living over there at New Haven, you know, and he was driving down the road, and he'd get them in there, and he was very conscientious and put them in their little car seats. And then they would get in their van, and they'd drive down that little road by New Haven Church, you know, and then he'd turn in that first little thing, house there, and turn around and come back. What a big deal. Till he backed over the mailbox. Then he had to tell me about it. And I I forgave him. My goodness, I backed over a lot of things worse than a male. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was not a big deal, but it was a big deal because he was sneaking off doing that and putting my two little girls in the car with him, and some log truck could have been coming down that road and he wasn't paying attention, and that was a big deal. And I forgave him, but he still had consequences. He had to call Angie 3. What's her name? Angie 3. Y'all know who Angie is, and tell her. And I called her. I said, just tear him up. Tell him you're going to kill him, too, you know, because you imagine Angie doing that. I'm not going to tear him that, you know. But anyway, he had to call her and apologize and offer to fix it and da-da-da-da-da. He had consequences. And any good parent, you're going to forgive your kid, but you're going to give them consequences. They're not going to learn a lesson if you don't. And that's the way it is with the Lord. You know, when you sin, there are going to be consequences. He forgives you. And other people will forgive you, but you're still going to have consequences from time to time. But it's for a season. Edom drank of it permanently. It's the same way with a non-Christian. When a non-Christian who faces sin will come before God at the judgment of God, and God will say, how are you going to pay for your sins? We can't pay for our own sins. I can't pay for your sins. You can't pay for my sins. There's only one way, only one person that could pay for our sins, and that was Jesus Christ. And if you don't have him, you don't have any way of paying for your sins, and you will face the consequences for eternity in hell. That's what it says. Continually. Forever. It's a principle. There's principles here. Principles of justice taught in this passage. Verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, all the people who don't know him. As thou hast done, it shall be done to thee. That's a principle. As you have done, it's the same thing's going to happen to you. You went through and you wiped out Israel when they were down. You kicked them when they were down. You did all this stuff to them when they were down. It's going to happen to you. And we know historically, within 15 years, Edom, Babylonians came in, and they didn't take Edom capture. They just totally destroyed them. Thy reward shall be returned upon thine own head. As you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. They shall drink and they shall swallow down, and it shall be as though they had not been. God's judgment always reflects, write this down, the nature of the sin that is judged. Individuals and nations, as we are seeing here, always reap, write it down, exactly what they sow. Psalm 18:26 says, with all who are sincere, you are sincere, God. When people are sincere with you and sincerely seek you, you are sincere. But you treat the unfaithful as their deeds deserve. Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, therefore all things, whatever you desire that men should do to you, even so to them do this, for this is the law and the prophets. And, of course, in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he also will reap. Now, there are three main things I believe we can learn from this passage. Number one is this: you need Jesus. When you need Jesus, if you're here and you do not know Jesus and you are not a saved, born again believer in him, you need him. Because judgment for the person who has not accepted Jesus as Lord is permanent and it is everlasting. You do not know that you have today. You do not know that you will walk out of this room alive. It happens. People can have a massive heart attack and just be gone right there in the middle of church. You do not know you'll make it home. You do not know you have this week. You do not know when the Lord may choose to end your life here on earth. And if you do not know Jesus, at that point it will be too late, and you will at some point stand before God on the judgment day, and He's going to say, how are you going to pay for your sins? And it does not matter how good you are, because all your righteousness is filthy rags before God. That lie that says you're going to get up to heaven, they're going to have a scale, and they're going to weigh how good you are with how bad you are. Everything's going to be on one side if you don't know Jesus. You need Jesus. Hell is real. I don't preach on hell a lot, but that doesn't mean that it's not real. It is real, and it's eternal, and it's horrible. You need Jesus. Secondly, write this down. Even Christians reap what they sow. Now, the truth of the matter is the wages of sin is death. Sin kills. Sin can kill your relationships. I've seen a lot of marriages. You know what I'm talking about. A lot of marriages that one or the other or both of the couple sin. And that sin kills that relationship. Sin can get rid of your wealth pretty quickly. Go over to the casino. It'll get rid of it really quickly, man. And they'll take you right on down the walk there. Sin can even shorten your life. If you have sin in your life, as a Christian, you need to repent. Repent means to stop the sin and turn from it and turn to the Lord. Finally, make up with your brothers or sisters and sisters. Now, I'm not just talking about, you know, your family. You know, if you've got problems in your family, you need to take care of that too. I'm not just talking about that, though. I'm talking about perhaps your spiritual brothers and sisters. There is nothing in this life that is of eternal significance that should keep you, or that is not of eternal significance that should keep you in a poor relationship with your brother or sister in Christ. There are very few things people fuss about that are of eternal significance. You know, I've been in a lot of church fusses in my time, Nick, and there never have been, not one have been over anything of eternal significance ever. It's just because usually somebody got their feelings hurt. And sometimes it was the preacher. Woke you up, didn't it? You know, make up. The Edom failure to do that, destroyed them. I heard this story about these kids, you know, and man, they just, you know, had gotten into it. There was four of them, and they had four different sides in the fight. You don't ever know about that, do you, Ned? Where all of them have their different sides, and they're just fighting and fussing. And you know what happened? Their mom and the dad sent them to bed early. So they went to bed, and later that night, in the middle of the night, this big storm comes up. I mean, loud thundering and lightning, and it was striking trees, and it was just something, you know. And the dad kind of got worried because, you know, little kids and all. So he decided to go up and check on them, and they weren't in bed, none of them. And it kind of worried him. He said, "Where are y'all?" And he heard this little voice, We're in the closet forgiving each other." I think, and I'm not really a prophet, just an old preacher, but I think we're in for a storm. I think Christians and Christianity is in for a storm. We've been a long time not having one here in our country, for sure. Very rare in history for Christians to not be being persecuted. Very, very rare. Only probably only 200 or 300 years total that that's been true. I think there's too much fussing going on. You know. I got all up, kind of uptight weight about the Southern Baptist Convention, and I got to think about it. One, that guy that got elected, I like him because he don't wear a tie. I thought, Becky, we need to start, maybe we all need to support him, you know, not wear a tie. I don't know. Seriously, you know, too many things, you know, we just fuss too much about silly stuff. There's a storm coming. We don't want to wait till that storm hits to realize that you need to love and forgive that brother or sister that you're mad about. Some people have waited till it was too late. Edom sure did, and all that's left of Edom is a bunch of ruins. One more story, and I'll quit. True story, a friend of mine told me. This woman he went to see in the nursing home, elderly lady. I went Friday. Some of y'all know I was out of town Friday. I'd gone up to Senatobia, this precious little 93-year-old lady that was like my mama. Her youngest son had died. And she couldn't go to the funeral. She couldn't go. It was in Oklahoma. And she just physically, mine's perfect, but she couldn't physically go, and she was just miserable. And I called, and I said, Maxine, I'm gonna come up and sit with you through that time of that funeral. And the little social worker, she had it on her phone. And you should see Maxine. Maxine is one of these, you don't know what she's gonna say. She's gonna say the funniest stuff at the weirdest time. So she's sitting there, and she had six sons, and the other five all spoke at the funeral, and one of them got up there and just went on and on and on and on. And she says, "He should have been a preacher. He don't know when to shut up," you know. You know. So I have a heart for that kind of thing. And this woman was in the nursing home, and he went in to see her, and she was very upset. It seemed that her brother had come to see her. He was younger. And he was very mad. And he accused her of taking more of her than her share of the family heirlooms following their mother's death. And he spoke of various items, and he ended with the berry spoon. You know what a berry spoon is? I've never heard of a berry spoon, but he was upset because she had gotten the berry spoon. And he said, "I wanted the berry spoon." And he had hidden that for 40 years, that he wanted the berry spoon. And it made her mad. And she said, "I'm never going to forgive him. It's my spoon. It was given to me. And he's wrong, and I'm not going to forgive him." This lady had been told she had possibly 2 months to live. And her only living relative, she would not forgive because of a berry spoon, whatever that is. And think about that. How many berry spoons are there in our lives? How many things as insignificant as a spoon, when compared to eternity, separate us from our brothers and our sisters and the fellowship with God that He wants to have with us? Jesus said this, and I'm going to close with this. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Let's pray. Father, we see the results in your word and Obadiah of these two brothers that would not forgive. each other we see, Edom totally destroyed and permanently destroyed. And Lord, we see so many times how we hold on to silly little grudges over insignificant, silly things, like this woman and her berry spoon. Lord, I pray, first of all, that if somebody is here and they don't know you as their Savior, that they would come to you today before it's everlastingly too late. And Lord, I pray for us as Christians who have berry spoon mentalities, that we would recognize how silly it is. Because, Lord, there are going to be storms coming up, and we don't need to wait to make up until then. Father, I turn this time over to you. Lord, if there's someone that needs to repent, today is that time. This is the time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your head.